So we're here on a Football Friday talking plenty of Texans and Colts, and joining us right now, he is brought to you by hornsolutions.net. John McClain joining us on the program. What's happening, John? I saw Gary Horn up in the suite at the bowl game the other night. It was nice to see him.
I know. 610 invited him to come because he's a high roller. Nobody invited me. He did, but I told him, I said, hey, let somebody from the station invite me. I can't come over there with all those VIPs.
They would have let you in, I think, probably. But it was nice to see Gary.
Gary's always doing very well.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Great time of the year.
Yeah.
Start of the new season. I know everybody ought to be pumped. I hope the fans don't leave any empty seats tomorrow like they usually do. And they put on quite a show to try to help Texans win this game and have another shot at the Patriots.
Yeah.
Where do you rate this season, John? You've covered the NFL in Houston for a few decades now. And, you know, I remember 93. Was it 92 when they started 1-4 and the Oilers won 11 in a row?
It was 93.
93. So, I mean, where does this season fit in as far as the most memorable for you?
Well, it's not as good as the 12-4 season in which they went to the second round of the playoffs, at least not yet.
Right.
And 2011, because they won the division for the first time, but they were playing a third-string quarterback in T.J. Yates. So right now, I would say second to 2012. And I picked the Texans to finish 10-6 and be a wild card. I've never thought they were a Super Bowl team. You don't go to the Super Bowl with an offensive line like they've got, and that'll, I think, be fixed. I wrote a column today about Brian Gaine and his first season in charge. And so I think next year they'll be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
How much optimism, John, staying with the offensive line for a second? Because that's obviously one of, if we're checking boxes, one of the biggest gaps is the Colts, who have a top five offensive line, and the Texans, who are probably in the bottom third of offensive lines in the league, thereabouts. How much optimism do you think Brian Gaine can draw from what Chris Ballard was able to do with this Colts offensive line in one offseason?
I wrote a column about that Wednesday. Colts have 3-1s and a 2 in their offensive line. And last year they had a 1-2. They had a 1 and a bunch of 2s.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the first-round pick on left guard Quentin Nelson and the second rounder on right tackle Braden Smith. But his picks are a whole lot higher than Brian Gaine's going to have. You know, Nelson was 6th overall. And I think Smith was 37th, and the Texans are not going to be – they're going to be picking at the bottom of the first round, bottom of the second round. Seattle's also in the playoffs. But I'll guarantee you two of their first three picks are going to be offensive tackles, and the other one's going to be a cornerback. And there will be free agency as well. But for whatever reason, in free agency, there's always more corners available than tackles. So I'm pretty sure they will sign a different corner and then use one of those top three picks on a corner.
Given the issues the Texans have with the edge rushers, their tackles just can't protect Deshaun Watson like they would like them to. It certainly hurts Texans fans to hear that Duane Brown was deemed among the All-Pro voters as the second-best left tackle in the entire NFL, second-team All-Pro. You think he deserved it?
Well, I haven't watched Seattle, so I don't know. And the panel, the AP panel, has like 10 or 12. I keep hearing people go, the writers. Well, there's 10 or 12 ex-players and coaches and general managers that are broadcasters that are on that committee. So that's why it gets the most respect. Plus, you can't be on it as a writer unless you've covered the NFL forever. And I would assume because Seattle ran the ball so well and because Russell Wilson played so well, Duane was their best offensive lineman. So I'm happy he got some recognition. You know, he got his contract he wanted here after losing at $4 to $6 million. I can't remember what it was. And he got a new deal there, and he's happy, and they're happy. And Texans will have to see what they do with the two picks they drafted. Was it Rankin last year? Rankin's going to go inside, and it'll be a few years before we see what they do with the second and third round picks, how they turn out. But I think that's great for Duane.
John, you mentioned, and Rich mentioned, the All-Pro voting. DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, both first-team All-Pro.
Chiefs!
First-team All-Pro. No surprise there with the two of them, first-team All-Pro. I'm curious your thoughts. Just DeAndre Hopkins has now made first-team All-Pro back-to-back seasons. He's piling up records at a pretty young age still. I feel like with the Texans, it's always been that balloon popped in the background. J.J. Watt and Andre Johnson are the top two players in the history of this franchise. And then it's been Arian Foster, maybe Dwayne Brown after that. Has DeAndre Hopkins surpassed those two guys? Is he the third best player in the history of this franchise?
I believe coming into this season, I would have said Jonathan Joseph was fifth. And right now, DeAndre Hopkins, and he made second-team All-Pro 3 years ago.
He did.
That he has moved up into the top three in franchise history.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And Deshaun Watson is on his way. One of the things I asked Brian Gain, and I didn't use this today because I'm doing another column on him after the season, looking forward to the draft and free agency, but how much it means when you don't have to find the quarterback, when you have your franchise quarterback, and you know you fill in around him. And he talked about that, what it means to a staff of scouts and coaches, knowing that you don't need that, but you do need the things around him and to maximize his ability. And so that, and I think about all these teams that are going to be chasing Nick Foles or Will Greer.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
The kid from Ohio State. And
Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins. And so it's going to be fun and interesting, but it's so great it not to be your team looking anymore.
There's no doubt about it. It's unbelievable. We know all too well that feeling of being on the outside looking in at franchises.
It's the worst.
Who's going to be the next retread coming in until he
gets
a franchise quarterback?
Yep. Exactly. John, we mentioned that J.J. Watt was voted second-team All-Pro as an interior lineman. Only do I want your thoughts on that, but what else stood out to you when you looked at the All-Pro team?
Well, first of all, people that vote things that they shouldn't be on the committee. And people that vote, I don't think they disclose people's votes.
How much do you think he played inside?
Not enough to be All-Pro. He plays outside. And every once in a while, there will be an end outside, outside linebacker outside of him. But J.J. Watt is a defensive end.
Right, he lines up in the same spot every time. Like, sometimes there's a guy, like, the only thing that bumps him inside is putting somebody outside of him, like a Whitney Merciless.
And he's still really an end. Yeah. He's not a tackle.
Right.
And, but the thing that stood out to me is two Colts rookies being first-team All-Pro. Now, Quentin Nelson played great. Darius Leonard played great. The people that vote on the Pro Bowl, the players, coaches, and fans, didn't even vote Darius Leonard to the Pro Bowl.
That's insane.
Leighton Vander Esch made it. Derwin James made it. That is four rookies on the All-Pro team, and they deserve it. But that's what jumped out at me. And I think based on the voting that I saw, it bodes well for Patrick Mahomes to be the MVP.
For sure, yes.
All right. Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, alongside John McClain, brought to you by Horn Solutions. We're live in Katy at Little Woodrow's. Good place to come hang out and watch your games this week. And if you need to listen to the games, obviously you can hear the Texans and the Colts on Saturday here on Sports Radio 610. Sunday, a doubleheader as the Chargers take on the Ravens, the Eagles take on the Bears. NFL on Sports Radio 610. Should be two good games on Sunday. If you're driving around town and you need a place to hear them, you can do it right here on Sports Radio 610, presented by RideMetro.org. We'll get back into the NFL Hall of Fame. I want to get into Black Monday with John McClain as well. But, John, you and I have a friend. Actually, I'll call him a friend of the station because Demir has been very generous when we've done charity auctions. And so I'll let you let the audience know, or give the shout-out to our friend Demir. How does Demir pronounce his last name?
Kachik.
Okay.
Kachik.
Yeah.
Demir has been a manager down at the Edwards Cinema at Silver and I-10 and 610, where Carol and I go a lot, and he listens to this station religiously. And he's a guy that makes a lot of local films. There's a community of filmmakers here in Houston, and they're all buddies. And so this week, the Houston Film Critics named Demir. They honored him. It says, in recognition of local cinematic achievement from the Houston Film Critics Society, And the Chronicle had a really cool story on him in the Chronicle and on the website, in which he's honored as Houston Filmmaker of the Year. And I know he's really pumped about it. So from all of us to Demir, congratulations. I know he likes to make horror movies.
Yes, he
and
does.
And I've been to a couple of them, and he said he may branch out with drama now. And he has to do it on budgets of what, like, I just spent on this Diet Coke.
And congratulations, and thanks for listening.
He does a tremendous job, and thank you very much, Demir.
Yep. So, John, your colleagues named me Hall of Fame finalist for the class of 2019. I joked in the previous segment that there are two former Texans on there. One of them I don't think ever played a snap for the Texans, and the other one barely played a snap for the
Tony
Texans.
Tony Boselli and Ed Reed.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is Ed Reed a first ballot Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez, and I believe cornerback Champ Bailey all will make it on the first ballot.
So that's the first time for these three guys on the ballot.
Yeah. And, okay. And now, if you make it on the first ballot, not a lot of do.
Yeah.
But if you do, you know, you're a knockout. There shouldn't even need to be a big presentation. And Ed Reed's as good as any safety in history. And Tony Gonzalez took advantage of all the rules allowed for receivers. Tony was, to me, the first tight end. Well, Kellen Winslow. But Tony was right after him. A guy could line up wide, in the slot, on the line. He's got every record for a tight end. No tight end has ever been voted in on the first ballot.
No kidding.
I thought with Shannon Sharp, that was terrible because Sharp had the all-time record for catches and yards and played an instrumental role in two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I think he had to wait till the third year. So I think Tony Gonzalez will break the mold.
Here, the other names. Do you have the names in front of you, Rich?
I do. Okay. I was going to ask about a couple of them. John,
can you rattle them off for the audience real
sure,
quick?
Sure, no problem. Tony Gonzalez, Isaac Bruce, Edgerrin James, Ed Reed, Steve Atwater, Champ Bailey, Ty Law, John Lynch, Tony Boselli, Steve Hutchinson, Alan Faneca, Kevin Mawai, Richard Seymour, Don Coryell, and Tom Flores.
There you go.
Flores was the one I was going to ask about specifically. He's won a couple of Super Bowls. First time as a finalist. I feel like he's been overlooked for a long time.
Well, he had five losing seasons out of 6 years as a head coach. And he was terrible at Seattle. Now, he won two Super Bowls with the Raiders. And I think what he did at Seattle and his overall record, he didn't even win 100 games. I think that's hurt Tom Flores. I don't know why, because we don't say, let's vote for this guy. And we all promote people all year round. But when a guy like Flores pops up for the first time, I think it's great for him. You like to get in a room where you can be discussed by everybody. The one guy I was disappointed he didn't get in the finals was Clay Matthews, Bruce Matthews' brother. Played 19 years for the Browns and Falcons. I thought he was very deserving of being a finalist, and I was disappointed about that. Some of them just keep being over and over and over.
Yeah. Historically, O-linemen seem to get overlooked as much as any position group. Of the three I mentioned, how would you rank Steve Hutchinson, Alan Faneca, and Kevin Mawai?
Well, Tony, of those three and not...
Baselli's okay. On there, too.
Oh, Boselli, so, I'm sorry. Well, but I don't feel like Boselli has a chance.
Boselli was a better tackle than all those guys were as guards.
He's a good player.
He was a great player. The problem is his career was cut short.
Exactly.
Terrell Davis got in on a short career. Guys like Gale Sayers, Doak Walker, Dwight Stevenson. When Boselli played, he was just as good is Orlando Pace, Jonathan Ogden, and Walter Jones. So I think Boselli's got a chance, whether it's this year or whatever year, because once we put Terrell Davis in, probably because he's the best playoff running back in history, I thought that would open it up to other guys whose careers were cut short because of injury.
That's what I was saying earlier in the show, Rich, about when we talked about J.J., if J.J. had shut it down with the injuries and just had those 5 years – I brought up Terrell Davis. Is John in the room, without giving up too much of what you can and can't, does it feel like that the committee is getting more and more open to guys who maybe had careers shortened by injury, but they were dominant in those windows like that?
Well, the thing about Watt, you know, to tie Lawrence Taylor for most defensive players of the year, and all these guys on the committee see Watt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. When I got on the committee like 28 years ago, you know, you're talking about the icons of journalism, a print journalism, plus Jack Buck. and they're all dead now. And today, a lot of these guys haven't seen the older players. That's why we have a seniors committee and a contributors committee, and I'm on the seniors as well. And I take that as such an honor because it allows a guy like Robert Brazil to still get in the Hall of Fame. And it's so hard to do this. I think Watt cemented his Hall of Fame first ballot induction with the season he had this year.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to play another one. He will. But to come back from the injuries, and if I'm still around making the case for him, it's not going to take very long.
Yeah. I assumed, and perhaps incorrectly, that Boselli didn't play at the highest level long enough, and I may be wrong about that. But I just want to go back to the three I mentioned, because one of them is a kid from Rosenberg, Alan Faneca. Yeah. Steve Hutchinson, Alan Faneca, Kevin Mawai, how would you rate them in order of Hall of Fame worthiness?
I would put Faneca first. Now, maybe it's because he played on the Steelers and they were in the playoffs and Super Bowls and everything else.
Two rings.
And then Mawai played. He was a great center, team captain. He played a long time. And it's harder to judge centers because a lot of times they're helping on double teams. And you can tell better on pass protection. I mean, on run blocking. So I would put Hutchinson second and Mawai third of that group.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm looking at Mawai. Is that right? Seven-time first-team All-Pro, Kevin Mawai. Could that be right? Wow.
Yeah.
Five-time first-team All-Pro for
pretty strong for resume.
Hutchinson. And Faneca, I'm with you, John. I think Faneca is the one out of those guys where I go, boy, that guy, I thought he would be in by now, but it's tough. What is it? You guys can pick between four and seven each year? What's the number?
Yeah, and there's when it's three locks like this year, that just reduces the field. And there's so many who deserve it. I can make a strong case for everybody that's on this list of finalists of why they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Is Isaac Bruce a Hall of Famer to you?
I think he's a Hall of Famer, but for whatever reason, it is so hard for receivers to get in because the numbers are inflated because of the rules.
Yeah.
Pat Bowlen and Gil Brandt officially are finalists, but they're getting in, right?
They're getting in. Pat Bowlen, who's suffering from Alzheimer's for years. Yeah, he won't know it. His wife has Alzheimer's. And I wish we'd been able to do Bowlen while he's still at his senses. And Gil Brandt, I think Gil's 85. There's been a great run for Gil here. Texas Sports Hall of Fame, Ring of Honor, and now the Hall of Fame. Oh. There's not many guys who've done more for the NFL than Gil. And he's done, besides being the Cowboys personnel director from 59 to 89, you know, he was fired 30 years ago.
Right.
And he's done so many things for the NFL, NFL Network. Like, he's everywhere at the combine.
Yeah.
He brings players to us. And I don't know. Gil may know more people than anybody I know. When he dies, they better have the funeral AT&T Stadium.
World.
Because people are not going to fit in a church.
He's the sharpest 85-year-old that I know.
He's incredible.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Well, one of the reasons is he stays so busy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's on Twitter. He's a good Twitter follow. That, at 85 years old, he's a great Twitter follow.
And then Johnny Robinson from the Chiefs, with a great safety. Mm. He's a senior nominee. He'll get in as well.
John, there's 8 job openings right now in the NFL. Which one, in your mind, what are the best one or two in your mind?
I think the best one is Cleveland for obvious reasons. They got the quarterback. They got talent on both sides. They got draft choices. And they have a lot of cap room.
Great old line,
and,
too.
And they have with John Dorsey, Alonzo Highsmith, and Elliot Wolf, a really good top of the front office. And as long as the Haslams stay out of it and let them do their jobs, they're going to keep getting better. And I said this on a station today. I've done 11 talk shows today and 9 yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I started with Burlington, Vermont. I try not to turn people down.
So you don't say no, do you?
What are they asking you to come on and talk about in Burlington?
The playoffs.
Okay.
And they're all big Patriot country.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the media in New England is saying, bring on the Texans, not the Colts. You know, the Texans pee in their pants at the thought of playing at Gillette Stadium. I'd love to see the Texans get another shot at the Patriots up there. Because if you're ever going to beat them, this would seem to be the year.
It would.
But what'd you ask me? I'm sorry, when I was talking about talk shows. Oh, the best jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So a guy told me today can't remember which station. He disagreed on Cleveland because their competition was Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and they weren't going anywhere. I said, well, neither one of those teams were great this year.
Right.
And the Browns are going to keep going up. I still think it's the Browns. The one that intrigues me the most is Green Bay.
Yeah.
They seem to need somebody mature and tough to make sure he can handle Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And then they don't have a whole lot of talent, but, you know, it's a great place to live, great place to coach. That's the one that I'm the most intrigued about. And then Sam Darnold playing so well. If you can handle the pressure of playing in New Jersey, if you can do that, I think the Jets, with over $120 million.
Yeah, a ton of cap space.
And yep. Some good young players.
Jamal Adams.
Third overall pick in the draft.
And Sam Darnold, I think that the Jets is number two.
John, you mentioned second chances. And about a year ago at this time, that whole Josh McDaniels fiasco with the Colts took place. And at the time, a lot of people were fond of saying, well, he'll never get another chance. Well, apparently he's getting interviews left and right. He declined an opportunity to talk to the Bengals, but he's apparently on the Cleveland Browns shortlist. Does he deserve to be a head coach?
Think about all the candidates out there. Yes, he deserves a second chance. And here's the deal, Rich, about Cleveland. They're not letting Freddie Kitchens interview. If you hire Josh McDaniels, he's going to run the offense. He's going to call the plays. There's no reason to make Freddie Kitchens stay there. But you also run the risk that Baker Mayfield and McDaniels may not have the rapport or the success. I would try to find, if I were them, I would either hire Bruce Arians, who had Kitchens under him at Arizona, and with the understanding Kitchens is calling the plays because Bruce called him out there. And then I would try to either keep Greg Williams as defensive coordinator or go after Todd Bowles.
Mm.
Bowles was a great defensive coordinator. And bring Bowles in there and have that threesome. But if you bring an offensive coach in there, you're asking for problems. Unless, even if you let Kitchens go, you know, Mayfield's think about his personality. If he doesn't like this guy.
No, kidding me? He'll tweet about it.
He'll give him the Hugh Jackson treatment.
Absolutely. John, we're up against it almost here at the top of the hour. So quick rapid fire on two guys. What are your thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury getting interviews for head coaching positions?
Well, I'm really surprised. I think he'd have a chance to be the next head coach at UFC if he stays out there. I thought he would get a chance to come in and be an offensive coordinator.
And Gary Kubiak, do you think he is a head coach in 2019?
Do not. I think that Gary will end up running the Broncos offense.
So he'll be back on the sideline, but not as a head coach.
I think he'll not be head coach. There's a chance Mike Munchak could be the next head coach, and he could – I don't know if it'd be coordinator title. And Gary is the only person in that organization who has a lot of influence with Elway.
Yeah.
So Kubiak will be heavily involved in acquiring the next quarterback.
He's like Silvio to Tony in The Sopranos.
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah.
Back coaching Case Keenum again. Back to the future.
Consigliere. He's a consigliere. He's Tom Hagen Kubiak.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.